Hey guys, this is Sam, and you're listening to the Facing the Sun podcast, the show that helps shine a light on building a better you. Good morning, my friends. Happy Monday. I'm back. I would like to say I have a good excuse this time, but you know, life just happens as it always does. And would it be a life coaching podcast without life happening? Probably not. But I'm back, and thank you so much for your patience. And today we are talking about lies. Four lies that people tell you to keep you in a box. And these are things that I am currently unprogramming in my brain and teaching myself new ways to think and experience life. And it's been extremely painful, but really, really eye-opening and really, really cool. So I wanted to share these lies with you to help keep you aware of them. And so you can start, you know, breaking down societal barriers and all the fun things. So let's just get right into it. I don't really have much to lead into this, so we're just going to dive right in. The first lie they tell you to keep you in a box is that you have to have it all figured out right now. I think that with the integration of social media and how prominent that's become in our lives, it's really easy to look at someone online and think, oh, wow, they totally have it together. Or they totally know what they're doing. They know their path. They don't have any insecurities or doubts or anything like that. And friends, I'm here to tell you that is the biggest load of shit. I feel like I know what I'm doing in some aspects of my life. But when I tell you there are some where I have literally no clue anymore. They got either completely blown up or turned upside down on their head, and I have no idea. And in the past, before, it was really difficult for me to not know something or to not have control over something, because control is what makes me feel safe. And so when I didn't know what was going on or I didn't know what was happening, it was really difficult for me to continue moving forward without being like extremely stressed out. My nervous system got all sorts of compromised. But here's what I will tell you. You do not have to have anything figured out right now. Nothing. And that's totally fine. There is nothing wrong with not knowing. And the story I've been trying to change in my head recently is, instead of holy shit, oh no, I don't know, it's, oh, how fun, I don't know. And so for reference, my lease is up in my apartment at the end of this month. And I'm moving to Denver indefinitely. I'm just getting places 30 days at a time to go try out new things. So I have a place in Denver for July. I think I'll be in Southern California for August, maybe September as well. And then when it starts to get cold, I think I'm going to go over to Phoenix. But if you had met me even a couple years ago, the fact that I don't have a long-term plan for what I'm doing and where I'm going, you would be like, who kidnapped you? Blink twice if you need help. Like, who is this girl? Because I was so structured in especially my goals and my planning that it would be asinine for you to ask me what I was doing and for my response to say, I don't know. But I don't. I have no fucking idea. And even though that is terrifying, I'm really excited. I'm throwing all of my shit in storage, packing up my car and the dog, and just kind of bebopping around the States for a little bit and just trying to, you know, go explore and discover some new things about the world and myself. And I would be lying to you if I said I wasn't scared shitless. This is very contrary to what I typically do, but I'm really excited because I don't know. And there are days where I'm freaked out and scared and sad that I don't know. And then there are some days where I'm excited that I don't know. And here's the difference that I've learned from life and meeting people and all those things. Those feelings never really go away. You just keep doing the things even though you feel that way. You don't let your doubt or your insecurity or your questions stop you from continuing to move forward. And fear can be very paralyzing. But if you learn to accept fear for just what it is, an emotion, then you can continue moving through it and it will go away. Emotions are like friends. You invite them in for dinner, you see them, you witness them, and then they leave and they go home. So that's the first lie. You have to have it all figured out right now. Newsflash, you absolutely do not. Keep doing your thing. The second lie is that everyone needs to like you. And this is a huge thing that I am unpacking. I'm a recovering chronic people pleaser. fully abandoning boundaries to make sure that people liked me and had good opinions of me. And I'm in this phase in my life now where I don't really give a shit if you don't like me. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm not going to do anything that I don't want to do. So I'm not going to be a dick about it. But if I don't want to be around you, I'm not going to be around you. Or if I don't want to do that thing because I don't like it, I'm not going to do it. But I also am creating these experiences in my life that I do love, and inviting people to do these things that I do love. And so the connections that I create and am maintaining are healthy, very deep connections, because we're both doing things that, or all of us are doing things that contribute to our peace and our overall energy and well-being. So the number one priority in your life should be you. And this is really ironic coming from me, just given my history, but we're getting there. And that's what matters. And not everyone is going to like you. And I've said this on a bunch of podcasts before, especially last year, when I was kind of going through a similar situation, but it just, no one is thinking about you as much as you're thinking about you, babe. No one cares as much as you care about yourself. Just take a deep breath, relax. And if you like you, that's the most important thing. So keep doing what rings true to you. So that's line number two, that everyone needs to like you. And the third one is, you are who you're always going to be. Like, you're the same person, people never change. I think that's the biggest load of shit ever. And I have witnessed, even just myself, you can wake up one morning and decide you want to do something different. Or decide, oh, I'm not doing that anymore, actually. Or, oh, I'm going to start doing this. Like, habits take a long time to form, but you, the great part about life is you get to choose. You literally get to pick who you want to be and what you want to do. And the important part to remember for that is, you need to be doing things that support that choice. I mean, you can't just wake up and say, I'm not going to drink alcohol ever again, and then go to the bar that night and put yourself in a very precarious situation. It's doable, but that's going to make it extremely difficult for you. And that is so, so important to remember, that you are allowed to change your mind and you are allowed to do something different, but you need to back up that choice with actions. Actions speak louder than words, my friends. We always know this. We have always known this, but make a conscious decision. If you're going to say, okay, I actually don't want to have this behavior trait anymore, you're going to mess up sometimes, but the awareness of, oh, I did that again, and I actually don't want to be doing that, let's unpack that or rewrite that or look at it with a different perspective. I mean, gosh, just the power of self-awareness. I feel like so many people lack. I feel like our generation is getting on that bandwagon a little bit more, but I know that's why we have coaches, right? Shameless plug. If you need to be more self-aware, let's have a chat. Okay, that's the third one. You are who you're always going to be. And then the last one, the fourth one, is there's only one path, one direction. And I experienced this a lot growing up, especially, like, you graduate from high school and then you go to college and then you get a job and you work until you're 50 and then you retire if you're lucky, you know, in your late 50s, early 60s, and then you enjoy retirement and you have a family and kids somewhere along in there. And that just never resonated with me. I have a very untraditional life path in that way. I mean, I did get married when I was 19, but I was divorced by 23. My career path has been very unconventional. And it's just, I thought for a long time that that was wrong, that I was doing it wrong. And I felt a lot of shame in my close relationships because I wasn't doing it the way that everyone else was doing it. And I wanted to fit in and I wanted people to like me and I wanted to be a part of that group, you know, where we could all kind of commiserate on our life experience together and people could relate to me. But the thing that I've learned is people do relate to me. One, you just need to go find them. When you get in a room full of entrepreneurs who understand what it takes to build a company from literally nothing, from ground zero, to the point where you can quit your salary job or you're making enough money to pay all your bills and, like, be a productive member of society, that's kind of a threshold that not a lot of people understand. And it's really healing and really helpful to be around people who get it. And this doesn't just have to apply to work, guys. I am saying that now because I'm restructuring a bunch of things in my business and, you know, doing a bunch of cool things to bring to you guys in the next couple of months that I think will be really awesome. But it's a pain that if you don't run a company and you don't have to change your business plan, that not a lot of people understand, and that's okay. But let's say for friendships or relationships or hobbies, if you are a swimmer and you hang out with basketball players, they're going to understand the athleticism behind it, but they're not going to understand you or your sport. When swimmers get together, it's like speaking an entire different language, because we can speak the lingo and we talk about practices and we talk about racing and all the things because we're all on the same page. And so my biggest advice to you would be, go find what lights your soul on fire and the people that share that spark, because you're going to connect with them so much more. I feel this way about my yoga friends too. So many people think I'm very weird and woo-woo for like my tarot cards and my oracle cards and my mala beads and my sage and all this stuff that I have in my house that's such a huge part of who I am. But if you don't do that stuff, you don't understand how important it is. And so I get around my yoga girls and my yoga guys and we talk about, oh my God, I pulled this card in my deck yesterday. And they're like, no way, because they understand the importance. But if I were like, hey, I pulled the tower card the other day and you don't know what a tarot card deck is, they'd be like, okay, cool. But for those of you that know, you'd be knowing the tower card is so great and so painful. But that's what I mean. So surrounding yourself with people who see you, who really, really see you. And we're going off on quite a tangent here, but one of my favorite singers just came out with a new album. I never know how to pronounce his last name. His name is Noah Kahan, something, whatever. But he just came out with a new extended album. And there's a song on that album, and the lyrics go, in love with being noticed, but afraid of being seen. And he might as well have just smacked me through my Spotify account on my phone. And I was really sitting on that and pondering that over the last week or so, journaling about it. And like, at what point do we make the transition from being noticed to truly being seen? Like, who's actually seeing me? Who in my life actually sees who I really am? And so I was kind of peeling back those layers over the last couple of days. And I think it is a very conscious choice on a personal level to want to be seen and to have that desire to be seen. Because I have lived most of my life with a lot of walls put up around to protect myself, because the people that I let close to me ended up hurting me. But at some point, I've talked about this before, someone very near and dear to me came up with this theory with me, the common denominator theory. And it's, if you look at all of the shitty situations in your life that have happened, what's the most common thing in all of those? You. So what are you not seeing or acknowledging that's allowing you to repeat this pattern or repeat that choice or keep bringing people in your life that do those things to you? Because at some point, at some level, you are allowing those things to happen. And as much as I hate to say it, babe, like, you got to be conscious of that choice. And there are red flags that you ignored, or unconscious behavior patterns that you keep falling back into, or a cycle that you need to break that you're not aware of. And so I've been sitting with myself for the last, I don't know, couple weeks. And this is the thing that I have realized, and I cannot believe I'm about to say this on the internet, but it's totally fine. Hopefully it resonates with somebody. But there's a piece of me that has always felt the need to win somebody's approval or to prove that I am worthy of love. It is very hard for me to receive love just by existing for who I am. I think I need to be contributing in some way, working with you, monetary wise, like service wise. And I thought for a long time, one of my love languages, how I show love, was acts of service, but it's not. I do that so I can make sure that you know that I'm working for your love or your approval. And that's pretty whack. I'm not gonna lie. Like, that sucks that I have felt the need so for so long to prove that I am worthy of somebody's love, and that I don't get to just exist and be Sam and be weird and quirky and be loved and accepted for that and just that. And that's plenty. That's totally fine. So I've had this habit in my life where I feel the need to prove or to gain people's approval to earn love. And it's created some really interesting power dynamics and relationships in my life. And that's something that I want to consciously break now. And so I'm being very selfish in good ways. But I'm also, we go back to lie number two, not everyone needs to like you. I'm starting to kind of piss people off because I'm not being so flexible when it comes to things that I want or won't do. And so that's been an interesting perspective shift for me. It's just, you don't need to prove that you are worthy of love. You just are, kid. You just are. You were born and that was it. That's all you needed to do to be worthy of love and acceptance. And most of the time on this podcast, I know that I'm talking to you guys, but it really is just a way for me to process speaking to myself. I'm an external processor, and so I just love to talk about things. Shocker that I have a podcast on it. But you don't need to be doing anything. You don't need to be proving anything to anyone to show that you're worthy of love. So that's my tangent. So those are the four lies they tell you to keep you in a box. Let's go back over them really quickly. One, you have to have it all figured out right now. You don't. It's totally fine that you don't know. And that means you just get to try a bunch of things until you find something that you like. The opportunities are literally endless. I just met someone last weekend, this sweet woman who's 55 and going back to school because she wants to change her career path. Like, you do you, babe. I think that's awesome, but it's never too late and you don't have to have it all figured out. You have so, so much time. Line number two, everyone needs to like you. I'm going to stop that right now and just tell you that not everyone will. No matter what you do and no matter how hard you try, not everyone is going to like you. Just like that old saying, like, you can be the nicest, juiciest peach in the whole world and there's still going to be somebody that doesn't like peaches. It's exactly how that goes. Number three, you are who you're always going to be. I think your spirit will always be the same, but the way that it shines and the energy level that it operates on can always change. You can wake up one morning and decide you want to be something. You just need to make sure you have the action plan to back it up. And if you need help with that, you come talk to me. Line number four, there's only one path, one direction, which is true because it's yours. You get to choose your path. You get to choose your direction. You get to choose what you want to do and when you want to do it and how you want to do it. Do not let anybody else dictate your path. Do not let anybody else decide what you want to do for you because it's not up to them. It's up to you. Capiche? All right. I've been on a tangent for 20 minutes, but I hope this was helpful to you guys. Drop any questions or comments or concerns in my inbox. My details are in the episode details. I hope you guys have a great week. I will be back next week and I will talk to you soon. Thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate you. If you want to keep up with all the happenings, be sure to like, follow, subscribe. You know the drill. You can also find me on Instagram at samadams7 and find out more about the biz at sunfloweragencies.com. That's SNFLWR agencies.com. Thanks, guys.